Okay. We're in Matthew chapter 13. We're going to be actually finishing chapter 13 tonight, today. When I was a boy, I remember Christmas time. I may have shared this memory with you guys in the past. I can't remember. But we moved all over the country because my dad was in the Army. And wherever we lived, my grandmother, on my dad's side, would fly to wherever we were for Christmas. And she would stay for 2 weeks. And it's a memory I have of my boyhood, a Christmas memory from that time. And I remember just kind of the excitement of going and picking her up at the airport. And we would go to the airport. And back then, you could actually go to the gate and meet them right there as they walked into the airport back in those days. And we would do that, and my grandmother would come, and we'd get her luggage and load it up, and it'd be nighttime, and it'd be cold outside. Sometimes it'd be snowing, and we'd take her home to wherever we were living. And she'd get into the room she was going to be staying in with all of her bags and stuff, and start taking things out. And she takes out of her bag a present that's wrapped. And she would give it to one of us and say, "Oh, look at this. Here's a present. Put this under the tree." And we'd go and run it under the tree, and she'd pull out of her bag something else. "Oh, this is Italian sausage from Balduzzi's." Balduzzi's was an Italian grocery store that was at the bottom of the hill from where my grandmother lived. And man, they had good, wonderful Italian sausage. We couldn't get it anywhere else in the country. And so she would bring it to us at Christmas time. "Take this to your mom and she'll fry it up." And we always had spaghetti. It's tradition. We had spaghetti on the night that my grandmother flew in with Italian sausage. Because that was part of the things that she'd pull out of her bag every year. And, "Oh, here's another present. Why don't you put this under the tree?" And he would go and run it under the tree. And she'd pull out, "Oh, what is this?" And it'd be New York extra sharp cheddar cheese, which you can't really get here. I mean, it's extra sharp. It's wonderful. And, "Oh, look at this. Here's another present for under the tree." And she'd pull something else out. "Oh, this is a nut roll for the kitchen." So you take the nut roll into the kitchen. And this would go on that night for, I don't know, however long it took her to unpack her bags. She'd just pull stuff out, left, right, all kinds of stuff. And it was an exciting time, especially for a kid. Okay. You think God likes to show us treasures like that? Just, you know, gather us around and say, "Oh, Mehran, look at this. Susan, look at this. I think what you shared was a treasure to you earlier, right? It was something God was showing you." He's pulling it out of his little bag and saying, "Susan, I want you to see this. This is a wonderful, beautiful thing." I think God does this. He pulls treasures out of his chest and watches us just marvel at them. He gives us a treat. God gives us treats all the time. Bless him. Like when we give our children treats. We like to do that, right? Now, when God does this, he shows us great treasures. He often does it through people. Kind of like Susan in your case, he used Augustine to show you a treat. Matthew 13, verse 51. Keep in mind, Jesus has been talking in parables. He then says, "Have you understood all these things?" He's talking to his disciples. And all these things mean these parables. They said to him, "Yes." And he said to him, "Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of the house, who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old." Now, this is actually a new parable. He asks them if they understand the parables, and they said yes, they do, and he gives them another parable. Verse 52, he says, every scribe who's been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of his house, bringing out his treasures, new and old. A scribe is a teacher in Jesus' day. They were the teachers of the law. And so he's talking about someone who's teaching you something. And he says that these scribes, if they're trained the right way, they give you great treasures. They give you new and old treasures. The word trained is the word that, it's the normal word that the Bible uses for, it's actually a participle, so it'd be something like discipled. It's the word for a disciple. And so this is every teacher who's been discipled in the kingdom of heaven is like a master of the house who just shows you great treasures. That's the picture that Jesus is giving. And so it's the treasures are in people. They're coming out of people. As Paul puts it, this is 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, I think. He says, for we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing greatness belongs to God and not to us. And what he's saying is, we have this wonderful, beautiful, as a believer, treasure inside us. But we're just jars of clay. We're clay pitchers. We're broken, earthly, you know. We're made out of dirt. But we're dirt with diamonds inside. And people are plain old clay jars. All people are plain old clay jars. But God's people have got treasures inside them. And so, plain old clay pitchers are going to show you treasures you never dreamed of if they're trained in the kingdom of heaven, if they've been discipled by the Lord Jesus Christ. They've learned from Christ. A disciple, by the way, the word disciple literally means a learner. That's what a disciple means. That's the kind of the literal meaning of that word. It takes on a different meaning sometimes, and special. It has multiple meanings depending on how it's used in different contexts, but the base root word means a learner. And this training, this learning, this discipling that goes on, it's not classroom training. This isn't you go take a test, A, B, C, D, oh, I got it right. That's not how God trains. This is God's training. God trains in a different way. Have you ever met people trained by God? These are people who, they've had to die to self. And they've been willing to do it. They've endured hardship with joy. Their faith has cost them. And you can see depth in their souls when you see these people. These are people who have had to trust God through the unknown. And they've come through the other side, still trusting God. This is how God builds disciples. He doesn't build disciples by putting you in a classroom. He builds disciples, as Paul puts it, 2 Corinthians 4, same chapter that I quoted earlier. These people are always carrying around in their body the death of the Lord Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in their mortal flesh. They die to self, but they live, and they live a greater life because they've died to self and been raised anew in Christ. And when you find these people, oh my goodness, they have such treasures. Have you ever seen people like this, and they share with you God? It's as if God just sort of flows out of who they are. That's how I would describe it. I've shared with you about my mentor in the past. He was a missionary to the Muslim world. And he was actually an international. He was not American. He was from Greece, but he grew up in Turkey. He was a Bible teacher, and that's what he was doing when I knew him. I didn't know him in his missionary days. But he had endured prison for his faith. He had some Muslim men attack him with a knife because he was spreading Christ in their country. He had his life threatened multiple times as a result of spreading the gospel. But he walked with God. He knew God. And when you knew the man, you knew that that man knows God. You couldn't miss it. You just saw it in him. And when he talked, treasures would flow out of his mouth. I hope you've seen something like that in people, in somebody, because it's really special to see. You want to be around those people. You do. They make your life richer when you are around them. And you want to learn from them. They have learned from someone, and you want to learn from them what they have learned from the Lord. When you find those people, stick by them. They give you treasures. And what comes out of them flows out of their hearts. It just naturally comes out. See, and that's part of the treasure. Part of the treasure is it just comes from the heart. Now, that's the parable Jesus is talking about. The scribes, the teachers, who have been trained, discipled in the kingdom of heaven, are like a master of the house who brings out of his treasure new and old. New and old, I believe, is just a reference to new covenant, old covenant. They're bringing out the ancient and the new covenant as well that Jesus is bringing. And they're teaching you of God from both. Now, not everyone, however, listens to these treasure people. Those who are trained in the kingdom of heaven. And I say that because of this, verse 53. When Jesus had finished these parables, he went away from there, and coming to his hometown, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother called Mary? And aren't his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household. And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Now here, Jesus has gone and he's gone to Nazareth, which is his hometown. We see that in verse 54. He came to his hometown. He taught them in the synagogue. And we know it's his hometown as well because all of the reaction of the people. Aren't his sisters here with us? Isn't this Joseph and Mary's son, the carpenter's son? This is Nazareth. And so Jesus is in Nazareth now. This took place sometime after all the parables, perhaps. And here's the deal. Verse 52. Every scribe who's been discipled in the kingdom of heaven is like a master of house bringing out treasures. Okay, do you think Jesus was bringing out treasures? Of course he was. Jesus is one of these people I've been talking about. He is like the scribe that he mentions in verse 52. In fact, he's the epitome of such a person. Jesus knows the kingdom of God. He's bringing it. He's teaching and he's bringing forth great treasures to the people. And the people actually see it. Look at verse 54. Look at their response. Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works, they say. And so they are actually seeing the wisdom that Jesus is getting, and they're commenting on it. How did he get such wisdom? But they don't accept him. Verse 57. They took offense at him. They see the treasures, but they reject the man. Now, what's their problem? They see the treasures. Why can't they just accept the man when they're seeing all of the wonderful things he's doing? Here's the problem. He's too familiar to them. They can't get over the fact that they knew him when he was five. They remember a little boy running around the streets of Nazareth playing hide and seek, or whatever they played back then. I don't know if they played hide and seek back then. He used to walk into their house and they would feed him bread. And they had this memory of this little boy. They slept in the same room with him. His brothers and sisters, they were all in one house, and those houses were small back then. And so this is the guy that, yeah, he slept in right there. Now, when you live with somebody, you see him differently. It's hard to imagine for them Jesus being Messiah. Let me illustrate this way. Eric, do you have a brother or sister?
Younger sister.
A younger sister. What if one day your sister were to grow up and be the president of Korea? You laugh. you laugh at it. And that's exactly what these people are doing. She would always be your sister, wouldn't she? You would have a hard time seeing her as president of Korea because you knew her when she was three. She's younger than you. And you might have changed your diapers. I don't know how much older than you are. I mean, there's this sense is when you change someone's diapers, then it's hard to see them as, you know, whatever when they grow up. Sometimes you still see them as a little girl or boy. That's what these people are like. I mean, what if Matthew were to one day be president? Wouldn't he just still be Matthew? Yeah, see, he's just Matthew. Merdad. If Merdad were to become a world famous dentist with all of these praises and writing these articles, and you know, everybody's wants to see Merdad speaking around the world, and let's pretend this is what happens. He's still just your boy, isn't he? Now, to other people, he's a whole lot more than your boy. But to you, that's all he is. It's an old song by Keith Green. The song is called To My Parents or something like that. Is that the name of the song?
Letter to My Parents.
Letter to My Parents. It's a song, I only want to see you there. His parents are not believers. And that's the chorus, is I only want to see you there. But in the song, he says this. Let me see. I actually wrote it down. I'm going to read it for you. This is one of the verses. Isn't this Jesus? Isn't it Joseph and Mary's son? Well, didn't he grow up right here? He played with our children. What? He must be kidding. Thinks he's a prophet? But prophets don't grow up from little boys, do they? From little boys, do they? Isn't that where prophets come from? Don't they come from little boys? It's a powerful song, given who his audience is. It's a letter to his parents. And he's saying to his parents, prophets don't grow up from little boys, do they? These people can't see Jesus. They see what he does. They see the works, and they marvel at the wisdom. But he's still a little boy to them. And by the way, this truth that sometimes family cannot see other family as who they are can be for us as believers an encouragement. It at least helps us understand sometimes why family may sometimes reject faith. You're just their daughter. You're just their son or their brother or their sister. And they're always going to see it that way. And sometimes it's hard for them to accept wisdom. Sometimes you have more wisdom even than your parents at times. If you're in the Lord and they're not, you know a whole lot that they don't know and they don't understand, and unless they accept him, they'll never understand. And coming from you, sometimes it's just a little girl. That happens a lot. I've seen that a lot in believers when they go amongst family. You need to go and you need to share. I'm not using this as an excuse to not share, but just understand, if you're rejected, they rejected Jesus too, for that very reason. And it's okay. if they reject you. It's not okay if, in the end for them, but for you, just it's okay. That happens. And so these people, they see the treasures. That's verse 54. Where did he get such wisdom? But they reject the man because they know him. In fact, they take offense at him. See, Jesus is saying things like this. You remember Jesus went to Nazareth? He went into the synagogue. He opened up the book, and he read from the prophet Isaiah about the Messiah. He closed the book. He went, and he sat down. And he then said, "Today, in your hearing, this message has been fulfilled." And he is basically saying, "Ladies and gentlemen, I am the Messiah." And he is doing it in the synagogue of his hometown. Now, if your brother or sister were to do something like that, you would think he was crazy. Well, that's what they think Jesus is. They are saying, "No, you aren't the Messiah. You're that little kid who used to run around and break his sandals. That's who you are. Who does he think he is? A prophet?" And Jesus then replies to them in verse 57, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household." He's saying a prophet has no honor in his home. And he then did few works there because of their unbelief. They see his treasures, but in the end, they don't get very many of them because they don't believe. Guys, how you view Jesus determines the treasures you get from him. If you just see him as a regular guy, you aren't going to get a whole lot out of Jesus. He's just a regular guy. I think of Bart Ehrman. Bart Ehrman is a theologian, atheist, says Jesus is just another man. And in that sense, Bart Ehrman is no different from these people in Nazareth. And so, Jesus isn't going to do any mighty works for Bart Ehrman. He's not going to deliver him from his sins. He's not going to give him victory over any kind of sin in his life. He can't expect treasures when he rejects him. See, most people miss the treasures of Jesus because they don't really see anything particularly special in Jesus. And I'm talking about practical living here, not what we might intellectually say. There are lots of people who will say, "Oh, yeah, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. He's a really good man." But when it comes to living life, well, they don't really come to Jesus for anything. They don't treat him as if he's Messiah, as if he's a savior. They can save themselves. Thank you very much. That's how they live life. They may say one thing, but they live another way. I'm talking about how we live, not what people necessarily say. How you live shows how you view Jesus much more than what you say. And so that's why people, they don't get any works from Jesus. They really don't see him as a scribe who's been discipled in the kingdom of heaven, who is pulling out treasures out of his sack to offer them. They don't see that in Jesus. And you? just a man? Maybe a man with some teachings you like. Oh, yeah, yeah, I like that stuff about blessed are the poor in spirit and blessed are those who mourn. And I like that stuff. Those are really good teachings. Okay, good. I'm glad you like those teachings. Is he who he said he was or not? I mean, he says he's the Son of God. He says... He says your eternal destiny depends on him. Is that true? Do you believe it or not? Oh no, he's just a man. He's starting to get too familiar to us. Most people won't go that far to say Jesus is my Savior, the God who has come to earth. Okay. Then they're going to miss him. They will completely miss who he is. Completely. And they will get nothing from him. If you want the treasures of Christ, you must give yourself to learn from Christ. We're to become those learners of Christ. Now, there are people who help us along the way, special people who pull out of treasures from their lives, and we want to look at those people. But those people are getting it from Jesus. And so ultimately, it's like Paul said, be imitators of me as I imitate Christ. We imitate others in the way that they imitate Jesus. And so if you want the treasures of Jesus, you have to be a learner of Jesus Christ to be his disciple. And so you remember what I said about there are these special people who pull treasures out, spiritual treasures, wherever they're from. You want these people in your life. You want them. Find them and hang out with them and learn from them. Okay, you know who is the preeminent of those people? Jesus is. That means you want him especially. The other people, regular everyday clay jars, those people, if they've really learned from Jesus, what they will do is point you to Jesus. That's what they'll do. You see Jesus, you come to him, and you see the love of God in Jesus. That's a treasure. You see that your sins are forgiven. That's a treasure. You see that Christ is in you, and you are united with Christ. That's a treasure. You see that you have a new identity in Christ. You are no longer old Susan or old Eric or old Rebecca. You are now new Rebecca in Jesus Christ. New identity in Christ. You're part of his bride. You are united with him. And you've taken on a new identity. That's a treasure. You've seen the great and glorious victory of the kingdom of God in the cross. That's a treasure. You've seen an inheritance unspeakable. That's a treasure. All of that is in Jesus. They're treats that you get from Jesus Christ. Your mother, your sister, your brother, the people back home, they don't see the treasure. Because they don't treasure the one who gives them. So to get God's treasures, you have to treasure Jesus. I'm going to close this way. This is going to be different. I want us to pray. And I want us to pray that we will treasure Jesus Christ first, above all things. That we will see 2 Corinthians 4 again. The light of the gospel of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's a treasure. And we'll see that. I want to pray that. And then I want to pray that we ourselves would be discipled in the kingdom of heaven. That we may be those special people who pull treasures out of our sack for others. That's what I want to pray for. So that we would treasure Jesus and that we would be discipled in the kingdom of God. Okay. So here's what I want to do. This is what's going to be different. What I want you to do is pray. You can pray aloud for the person on your right. So you can look to the person on your right. Pray for that person to be... We can do this all at the same time. We're not going to like take turns and do this. Just pray aloud for the person on your right to be... to treasure Jesus and be discipled in the kingdom of heaven. So, let's pray.